House Community and Regional Affairs Committee, January 30th, 1984, Alaska Municipal League Board Briefing.
The House Community and Regional Affairs will come to order. Oh, okay. At this particular time, we do not have a quorum. However, we are going to convene as a committee to hear the Alaska Municipal League. And in attendance is Representative Phillips, Representative McBride, and myself, Representative Miller. And we are being taped for our record, so I'll just let everyone know that. Yes. At this time, I'd like Betty Glick to come forward and give us anything that she would like to give us. Betty, if you'd give your name and your title for the record, please. Sure, go ahead.
We took a tour of the city in the rain.
At least it's not
a short tour.
Sure was. Well, first off, I would like to thank you, Mr. Miller, and the rest of the members of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee for allowing us this time to at least present to you some of the items that we feel are of importance to the Municipal League. Then, you'll excuse me, I'm trying to still catch my breath a little bit here.
Certainly.
As you know, the Municipal League is made up of 90 municipalities ranging in size all the way from Anchorage, which is over 200,000, to some small villages and cities at this point in time in the hundreds of population. I'm not sure exactly what the smallest one is at this point in time. When we develop our policy statement, we try to look at items that are of interest to all of the areas. We try to keep it on a very broad basis. We do not deal with those items that are of a regional nature, because by virtue of the fact that we are an Alaska Municipal League representing all of the municipalities, it would not be in our best interest to deal with regional issues. Unless, of course, it is an issue that would eventually affect the state on a statewide basis. Generally, we develop our policy statement, and I'm sure by now you all have received a copy of that policy statement, and hopefully you've had a time to at least peruse it a little bit. And while we do have a number of items listed in there, again, on a very broad basis, we generally target for each legislative session a number of items that we deem to be of a priority basis. And while we are just now in the throes of meeting, the board is meeting at this time, some of the items that we have discussed as our priorities and certainly would look for you for help on are, of course, the municipal assistance and revenue sharing. Now, this, of course, helps not only the local municipalities, but it also helps you all as state legislators, because while you represent us, we also represent you when we're sitting there determining how much money it's going to cost us to operate our municipality, whether it is a state or a borough. The next item, of course, would be trying to get full funding for municipal assistance. And there again, this does go into help defray, in some instances, operating costs. It also helps to determine what the mill levy is going to be. And Title 29 is another item that is of much importance to us. As some of you will remember, Title 29 was worked on by a large group of people several years ago. It was 2 years in the revision work. The bill was introduced and it was adopted or passed by both the House and the Senate. But at the very last minute, there were several amendments made to that Title 29 bill that had not gone through the public hearing process as the other portion of the bill had. And they were really amendments that were very unacceptable in most part to the larger amount of the municipalities. And therefore, we lobbied for the governor to veto that bill at that particular time, which he did. Last year, Senate Bill 1 was introduced, and also House Bill 172. I do know that House Community and Regional Affairs had a number of public hearings last year dealing with the Title 29, and I have copies of some of the recommended amendments and so on. In any case, this is very important to the municipalities because this is our guideline as to how we can operate on the municipal level. So there again, hopefully you will think that that is one of your items that you can also turn to be of a priority basis, because while it is helping us, it would also help you all as taxpaying citizens in your own home districts. The next item that we have on our list is the Senior Citizen Supplemental Appropriation. And it's my understanding that you all have introduced a piece of legislation or are going to introduce legislation dealing with this particular subject. In any case, we, as the Municipal League, would like to thank you and tell you how much we appreciate your help along this particular item, and I'm sure that we, as the Municipal League, will lobby for the passage of that bill.
Just to bring you up to date, Betty, where that particular piece is right now, we had the Community and Regional Affairs here on Friday, and the governor, we're holding off because the governor wants to introduce that legislation. He wants to introduce two pieces. The one piece, the supplement bill, which will be in a larger supplement bill, which will hit a number of items. And a second piece to give the powers to the Community and Regional Affairs to prorate among the cities, because now it's a first-come, first-served basis.
Okay.
So we're holding off. We told the governor that we would hold off until it came down, and if it's not forthcoming soon, we will go ahead and introduce it ourselves.
Okay, so you are working on that, and again, I wasn't sure what the status of it was, but in any case, whatever help you can give, we certainly do appreciate that, and we would be glad to cooperate with you if you would appreciate our cooperation to help to put this bill through. We are looking, of course, at subdivisions, and some of the problems that we have with subdivisions is whenever, and I think this deals with on a statewide basis, whenever the state subdivides land and sells it, the state does not comply with the local subdivision rules and regulations, and then this presents problems on a local level. And we do wish that if the state is going to subdivide land, that they would adhere to, as much as possible, the local subdivision rules and regulations. And another item, and this ties in with the first two items, is dealing with revenue sharing and municipal assistance, and this is the consolidation of the administration of these two funding sources. And this is something else that you all might look at in see whether or not there are benefits to that. And of course, we will try to keep you up to date as to what we're proposing along those lines. And again, the Alaska Municipal League Board of Directors does work in conjunction with the Mayor's Association, because we feel like we're all working towards the same goals. And then another item, of course, is dealing with the Davis-Bacon Act. And this, of course, is very critical to the rural areas, that we get something squared away there so that they can pay the prevailing wage based on the economics of their particular area. I think that at this point in time, those are the items that we have determined to be of a priority basis. They are not necessarily in that the order in which I have given them to you. And of course, there are, most of my board members are here. Perhaps you would allow them some time to make any additional comments. One thing I did forget, and I didn't follow my directions very well, you said to please state my name and with which association. And my name is Betty Glick. I am the president of the Alaska Municipal League for this year. And I'm sorry I didn't do that to begin with.
Before you go, Betty, I'll see if there's any questions of the committee. Betty. Representing your bride.
In your priorities, you didn't happen to mention local roads and trails money and the full funding or whatever of that. Has your committee talked about that at all?
No, we haven't discussed that
you
today.
Maybe you could discuss it in relation to municipal assistance and kind of lump that in, or had you discussed it at all?
Well, as far as discussing that at the board level today, we hadn't, because we were just getting into discussing this priority list, and we thought that we would just give this to you at this time. We do have a statement in our policy statement dealing with local roads and trails committees and road development per se.
And one more. I just wanted to make a comment that we're going to miss your executive director. She done a wonderful job. She gave us no end of information last year. Got us out of trouble many times, and I just think all of you should know that.
Well, I appreciate those fine comments, and I'm sure that you are not feeling that loss any greater than we are at the Municipal League level. I'm sure Jenny has been a tremendous asset and has given a lot of credibility to the Alaska Municipal League over the last 5 years. And while the next director is not possible for him to fill her shoes, he's going to have to wear his own shoes, but hopefully our line of credibility and our help to you all will continue, and I'm sure that at least that is the feeling of the board, and certainly we're here to help as much as possible.
I think one other person might be commended too, and that is because he's here locally and he's easy to call on, and we shouldn't forget to mention Lee Sharp, that has been a lot of help to us too.
Let's have to hand out some of these random, some of these
motion here.
Okay. That is a typewritten copy of the list of priorities of key areas of concern, which I have just gone over at this point in time, so it does give you a typewritten copy there.
Did you take a position today, or was it even discussed on Hospital 42, the population bill?
No, we have not discussed that. As has been commented on, we were a little late getting our meeting started because we were interviewing the finalists on the applications for executive director, and so we are running a little short or a little late on our agenda. But no, we have not discussed that at this point in time, but we can put that on our agenda and take a look at it for tomorrow if possible and come back to you on it. And that's Hospital 42.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Phillips.
Yeah, Betty, the governor, I think it was State of State, message mentioned something about not fully funding revenue sharing. Have you talked to him since then?
No, I have not talked to
I
the
mean,
governor.
I mean, you, the group.
No, we are having lunch with the governor tomorrow. At least we are scheduled to have lunch with the governor tomorrow. And at that point in time, we will be discussing with him the reasons why he did not fully fund municipal assistance and revenue sharing. I know that he has been and appears to be very supportive of those two particular funding sources. That we were very much surprised that they were funded at the same level this year as they were last year, without any increase.
The second thing is, I'll be, along with Arliss, be pushing within the Anchorship caucus full funding of municipal assistance and revenue sharing too. And we're supposed to have a meeting Thursday, I think, at 12 noon with the Anchorage members to see if we can fully fund it. So
okay.
That's what we're doing on the Anchorage level. I don't know how the rest of the state.
Okay, very good. Is that's just on your...
Yes, the 27 of us or 26 of us from Anchorage.
Okay, it's not an open meeting.
Oh, yeah. You walk in.
Oh, well,
the press and everything.
Oh, okay. Well, I just didn't want to walk in and say this is a closed meeting.
No,
please leave.
No, it's open meeting.
So, okay. That's Thursday at noon?
At noon. Butcher Bidge Road.
Butcher
Road.
Oh, okay.
Butcher Road.
I got you.
Deputy Lawyer Locker.
Randy, they haven't taken a position on
no,
it yet.
No, but we're going to present it to the
caucus.
Okay. I'm not,
I would like to mention, for the record, that at the annual meeting of the Municipal League, that the governor did state clearly that it was his intention to see to it that revenue sharing and municipal assistance was fully funded. Of course, that is different than what he said in his budget message.
Representative McBride.
Well, I was just going to make a suggestion that, as a backup to this, that somehow or another municipalities need for their own planning to know what their funding is going to be for municipal assistance. If it's not full funding, somehow or another you need to know so you can plan your budgets at what level it's going to be funded. And I don't know the answer to that, but maybe among you can discuss that and discuss that with the governor too. And So you have some way of planning your budgets for the next year?
Well, this is true, and we have touched on this over the last couple of years and thought about forward funding and coming up with funding on a few-year basis so that we do have some kind of a guideline as to what to expect. It would be most helpful if we did have that kind of information prior to actually getting in and trying to set our budget. Of course, if you all looked at that and made some kind of a determination early on in your legislative session, then that would help us by the time we're getting to April and May and dealing with our budgets. Those of us who are on a fiscal year basis, of course, there are a couple of municipalities who are on a calendar year basis, and of course that would not have that much of an effect on them. But most of us are on a fiscal year basis, and so if you could make a determination early on in the legislative session, that would help tremendously.
Representative Blocker.
Last year it was either your group or the mayor's, and I can't remember which, that came out with a resolution supporting the idea that the governor had put forward that permanent fund dividend monies go toward municipal business revenue sharing. What was it? What was the exact resolution?
It was the
mayor's, and what was it, Jim?
That, yeah, a portion of the permanent fund earnings go to the revenue sharing.
Okay, and you actually came out with that resolution, and then, of course, it wasn't acted on. Later on, I introduced legislation where permanent fund monies would go to individual nonprofits and municipalities, the dividend would, so that each group would have their own permanent fund, and it got almost no support. And yet I noticed that I see in the papers on a fairly regular basis that different communities are talking about setting up their own permanent funds. And it might be something you might consider. It was never my intention to replace municipal assistance and revenue sharing during these good times with any other monies. But when they do fall off, that your own permanent funds would have been well established for several years and then be bearing fruit. And so I thought you might want to consider something like that. Otherwise, I see only a constitutional amendment as giving you some security in future years for a portion of the revenue of the state.
Okay.
It's apparent that no matter what legislation passes, unless the legislature funds it, you're out of luck. So you have to start looking at something a little more permanent.
Well, this is true. Again, I would just like to convey to you that we are at your mercy as far as the funding levels go, but at the same time we would like to convey to you and hope that you understand that while we are representing the municipalities, you all do come home.
That's right.
I really think you do go home anyways once in a while, and
you do
have to pay taxes. So whatever you do here, it does, in the short term and in the long term, it affects you all the same as it affects us. And certainly we're not looking to take any credit away from you all as state legislators, but at the same time we do feel like we do represent you on a more local level, and so whatever cooperation we can work together, I know that we certainly are willing and able, and hopefully we'll be able to have some cooperation on your parts as well.
Okay. Any further questions?
Just one quick one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have an idea how big a population of the state these 90 municipalities represent, or a percentage of the state?
It's over 95%.
Over 95%.
About 98% of the municipal population. Over 95% of the state.
Population. Thank you.
Well, I knew we were getting up there pretty far, and I was thinking in terms of actual numbers of people rather than in percentages, and I was trying to figure that out quickly in my head. But in any case, but we have worked hard over the last 4 or 5 years, and more specifically the last 2 years, to get the smaller municipalities and the smaller areas involved in our municipal league, because we do have a lot of things that we can offer them that they wouldn't have otherwise. And we do have training programs for their city clerks, We do provide help through our executive director and our municipal league offices for paperwork if they need forms filled out and they don't have the expertise in their locality. So we do offer a number of items that we can help them, and we have been quite successful in obtaining additional memberships.
Representative Walker?
I was just going to ask if you had discussed at all or would consider discussing a mandatory borough act. The legislature got a letter from the Boundary Commission last year that very clearly points out that the legislature is remiss in not addressing the issue, and it mentions about six places that in their judgment should be looked at carefully. And I've been pulling the old legislation and going over it, and frankly I don't think that we have a philosophy in this legislature this year where such a bill can pass, but it's definitely something that I think the league should be looking at. Because as the revenues become fewer, we definitely need to continue on with a constitutional mandate. And if there are areas ready for incorporation, we should at least be encouraging it. And if necessary, a mandatory borough act may be what's required. I would just like to kind of take a look at it in the legislative committee or something.
Okay, that I can do. Our legislative chairman is here. And this will be something that we can discuss at the board level and perhaps give them a mandate to examine that and come up with a recommendation for consideration at our next conference.
We did discuss it with the new commissioner, and it was evident that he had not given it much thought, if any. And so probably the lead will not come from the administration, and I guess that's why I think you might
want
to look at it. I've got a lot of material for you if you'd
like
to.
Okay. I'd be glad to get
some
copies of it.
Any further questions? Seeing none, Betty, I thank you for your testimony. And since you have a whole group of people back there and you're kind of leading the group, I'll let you go ahead and send them up as you see fit.
Okay. Well, Representative Miller and other members of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, again, I do wish to thank you very much for allowing us this time and to giving us this opportunity to express to you what our areas of concern are and some of the areas that we feel are of a priority nature to us. Is there anybody else back here who would like to make any comments? Mr. Hollowell is on our board of directors, and he is also the mayor of Haynes, president of the mayor's conference this year.
I don't have to repeat that for the record, do I? You did hit on a subject that I'd like to speak on a little bit, and that's the Mandatory Borough Act. We have not addressed that per se, but we have asked the governor to appoint a blue ribbon task force. We hope that this would have been done by now. This came from not only the Alaska Conference of Mayors, but was endorsed also by the Alaska Municipal League. This task force would be charged with taking a look at the inequities in funding, which there seems to be some. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but there are inequities in funding on any basis you may want to look at, whether it be per capita or type of government or what have you. And of course, then we have the old stories about communities that are not communities. They're doing quite well and doing a lot better than communities by not being communities. And I'm sure we can all guess where those are at. But they're basically run by a committee of some sort or another, and they are receiving basic services that are not being enjoyed by communities that have taken the responsibility of becoming first-class cities or home rule cities, because they are not sharing the same tax breaks. Yet they are successful in coming to the legislature many times and getting the same amenities that we would like to have but cannot afford because our taxpayers tell us to go wherever. And so we see there's a lot of inequities out there. We also wanted to assist the governor in what we perceive as the problem he is having with the one-third, one-third, one-third funding formula. It is my opinion, and the opinion of the mayor's conference, and they've expressed it very strongly before, that that is the governor's constitutional right and authority to present the budget to the legislature and then let you guys honor which portions of it you may wish and change it to the way that you feel is appropriate for the state. We see where there could be a problem if we continue on the one-third, one-third, one-third funding formula, where the governor may not have as much authority as he has been allowed by the Alaska Constitution, and we don't know if that's right and proper, but I think if we identify the concerns of local government, and if we identify the concerns of unorganized communities, and take a good look at the Mandatory Borough Act and what have you, and encourage the state to come up with a formula that's fair and equal and equitable to all of us, we would be much better off in looking at future funding situations. And that, I guess, is the philosophy of what is behind our request of the governor to appoint this Blue Ribbon panel to make the study and come back with recommendations on how to handle this situation. There's another thing out there that you may not be totally familiar with, but we call them CRSAs, or Coastal Resource Service Areas, that was created under the Coastal Policy Council and the Coastal Zone Management Act. And I happen to be chairman of that organization, co-chairman. And I oppose that piece of legislation because I thought it was giving authority to unorganized areas that, well, I firmly believe that we took the carrot away from them ever wanting to become organized. If we give them the powers of planning and zoning without ever becoming organized, then what's their incentive to organize? Now, I always felt that planning and zoning was the authority that would encourage these unorganized areas to become organized if there ever was one. It was for planning and zoning purposes, so they have some influence in what's happening in the locales. That thing's passed, so I think we've got another hurdle to come over, overcome, and we would hope the recommendation coming back from the Blue Ribbon panel would make the recommendation to you on how to help resolve these things, and I would encourage you to ask the governor to make those appointments and make that commission a reality if you have the opportunity.
Any questions? Representative Phillips.
You hit something. What's something called up by Nome Regional Development?
Yeah, I was going to just say, add another layer. But
yeah.
Now we've got Resource Development Corporation.
Which is another super high risk.
They can go out and sell bonds. And,
yeah.
And take, accept state grants to build roads and docks and
without
highways.
Without responsibility.
So here's another one.
Then I say we've lost the state.
Yes,
we give,
sure,
we keep giving
have.
Away the power in that fashion, and I'm not familiar with that piece of legislation. But I would like to take a look at it. It sounds to me like
it deals with the Red Dog Mine. So
okay.
They can trail
yes.
everything
okay.
back to that resource.
Is that piece of legislation tied to the Coastal Resource Service Area that's organized out there as well?
Rural school district area.
REA.
Yeah.
Well, there's the other piece of the. I forgot to mention that.
Mr. Chairman,
ahead,
I would just like to state that last summer, that was going to be this committee's mission, was to go to these areas that were designated by the Boundary Commission and hold a public hearing and decide if these areas definitely needed special attention, and that if we would come back and this committee agreed, then we would have introduced the legislation this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't think it would pass this year. But it certainly could if it got the support of the municipality, I think.
Well, the reason we thought the, and I don't know if I'm sure this with you, but the Blue Ribbon Task Force was an idea that we thought would have a little bit of, it would have credibility. And it would have be palatable to not only the administration but to the legislature if they could see that the people that have been appointed to this committee had, I would hope that they'd have some government track record, and be made up of local government officials as well as state officials, previous ones or current ones or whatever, and the task force would be made up of people that we could all respect and share their opinion, and in this fashion come back to you with a report that would have some validity to it, because I know that a lot of times these commissions are made up of just to have a commission sometimes, I think, and but we would want that to be a very careful selection by the government, that we have the type of people and agencies represented that could do the job, and wouldn't be fearful of stepping on it. I better not go any further.
We're bringing up some pride.
Well, I was going to just mention that you mentioned earlier that Coastal Management has sort of taken over the powers of local planning and zoning. The rural development areas actually supersede that because they don't take into consideration planning and zoning. So you got the opposite side of the story on that, and I guess we'll just keep on doing whatever fits the picture the very best, and I'm not sure that that's the right thing to be doing. The total interest and goal of a rural development area is to get bonding to build a road, and there doesn't have to address whether it goes in the right places or the wrong places, or whether the harbor area will be in the right place or the wrong place. So on one side, we're using the power to supersede planning and zoning. On the other side, we forget planning and zoning in any of those functions altogether. So, you know, obviously we're doing something wrong. Either one is right, or the other, or they're both wrong.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just seems that whenever we have anything of any type of program going on in these or areas that have this cloud of doubt over their heads, whether they're organized or unorganized or what have you, and then you leave it up to the opinions of everybody, and I mean everybody in the United States, to come up here and help make these decisions, because there is no local planning organization to get things started from grassroots level, and that's where it should begin. And that's why I say that was the carrot that should have been left out there, and I think we destroyed the carrot when we created these Coastal Resource Service areas. But anyhow, we get a lot of opinions on how we should develop rural Alaska and whether it should be or shouldn't be, and we need those opinions, but I think it should begin on a local level and have those plans come to us first, so we know if we're talking about this, what is best for the people who live in the region and have had to deal with it all their lives for centuries now. But they know it better than any of us. When we leave the door open, we're just leaving it open to the great national concerns that come forward and tell us how wrong we are on every subject.
Any further questions? Seeing none, I thank you, John.
Thank you.
I'll try and be brief. There are a number of things that were mentioned here. I'm Mayor Leo Rasmussen of Nome. Mandatory boroughs are sort of a scourge, as we're concerned up our way, that Nome is the only real taxable property at the present time in whatever might be considered a borough area, whether it's in that area that we've already set up the resource development, we set up the CRSA, and we set up the school district, which are pretty much synonymous as geographical units. They have all those powers out there, and if the borough comes in, we know what's going to happen to the first-class school district, which has been able to maintain its high standard of education in spite of what's been happening in the Bering Straits region, and synonymously along with almost the same members on the CRSA, we're somewhat skeptical, putting it lightly, as being all of a sudden bulked into a situation where all of a sudden control and loss of revenue would be moved out into other areas to accommodate borough services. And I just wanted to point that out because there are some real problems if we, if somebody immediately moves along the line to go to mandatory boroughs. There's going to be some very gut-rending issues that won't be solved by just doing it. The other thing I wanted to point out along the line is along with revenue sharing and municipal assistance. A number of years ago, this money was passed on to us, and for those with taxing authorities, we were told that when we got that money, we lowered our taxes a commensurate amount. Then along comes less funding or reallocation of the money into some other priority, and we are stuck now. Nome had to raise its property tax 23%. We did some unique things. We took sales tax off of home heating fuels and off utility services. If it continues as it appears in some scenarios that are coming out this year, things that we've been able to do because you passed the money on to us are going to have to be tacked back on. I don't know if you're somewhat familiar with what is happening, at least economically and business-wise, in our portion of Alaska. And that is, as of around, say, near the end of the year, business crashed. Things are still going pretty good throughout the rest of the state. And I hope that something will pick up to show us that this isn't a trend that's really taking place. If we have to increase the taxes, it's going to keep that money siphoned off to where things won't come back. In my own business, I saw a 46% decrease over last year in the December month alone, and similar decreases for both November and January. Somewhere, that rollback effect is going to come down the line because everything that we receive into our community is coming through Anchorage or from Anchorage or in part from Fairbanks, other places where it comes in. This slows down here, takes a while to reach back here, and somewhere next summer, the effect is going to start impacting farther down the line. In other words, what I'm saying is we can't tinker with the communities too much longer. There are things that are already taking effect, and the rollback is on its way. And I'll know after another month or so as to how bad it really is. And I wanted to bring that up because the legislature made us as communities bedfellows when they told us to lower our taxes when we got all this wealth. And I don't know, Jenny might be able to better tell you, but I don't think that there is a community in the state that taxed property that didn't lower their taxes one way or another commensurate to the additional amount of money. There are also other communities in this state, one primarily, who initiated a tax cap. And indirectly, the rest of us could do the same thing and would stop everything at that point. Unrealistic. I have sort of mixed feelings about a major community putting a tax cap on and coming down here and supplementing their funding, because the people decided it was a nice thing to do. Nome went from 22 mills over this time frame to 7 mills, and we're back to 9. And looking at the potential of 2 or 3 more, if things keep, the mechanism keeps playing around and messes up the priorities. Whereas the other people that should be raising their taxes to meet and continue their services at some level are beginning to consider tax caps such as Anchorage has. And it's going to mess up the whole rest of the system, and we could end up with a real mess if something isn't brought about to cure the situation that one community's already figured they've cured. It's a mixed bag of things I bring before you, but I wanted to mention it.
We're feeling the belt.
So you say the economy in Nome is
down from last year or starting
to? Definitely.
Why is that?
Across the total business community.
But why is that?
There's one thing I can put my finger on, and that's not the only thing, and I'm not sure that I can tap any of the rest of it specifically. We financed a lot of new homes out in the bush, and people who had at one time expendable income in that amount now are paying mortgages, and their expendable income is at this amount. It was a grand thing we did, and I'm not arguing with it, but something somewhere along the line, we've gotten so far adrift on what we consider good programs that we are no longer developing an economy. In fact, I don't think we've really developed an economy that is going to return taxes and increase the structure and so forth. We've gotten off to social services, and I don't want to argue or be able to that we're in trouble.
Now, okay, during the summer months, is it down from the summer before, 82?
My business was running, I can talk for myself.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
what the rest of them are telling me. I know what our sales tax receipts are showing.
Mm-hmm.
And as of November, this year was a flat year. Last year had good economics and peaks and lows and so forth. This year was a flat year. November, mm-hmm. it just fell right out. January for me will be, as I left, the worst month in business in 4.5 years. And that is shaping up across the community. I hear the same thing from Kotzebue. I hear mm-hmm. somewhat the same thing coming from Bethel.
You sure can't tell in my community.
And the rollback is yet to come.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I'm asking these questions.
Well, I'm waiting to see if something picks up somewhere along the lines of it.
They're coming.
Representative Walker.
Yes, I would just like to mention to the mayor that many of the very same legislators that were telling communities, and I was sitting on the assembly at the time, that you must roll back taxes in order to reflect this large revenue sharing from the state, are now saying, you rolled back your taxes and you lived off us when times were good, and now you're just out of luck. So apparently the legislature just tells it any way it works for them. And so, I can remember getting pressure from our legislators to reduce our taxes, and now the very same ones are saying, well, it's too bad, you live high off the hog, I'm not very much in taxes collected, and now you're just going to have to pay if you want these services. So it really makes it tough on municipal government.
Well, I have a funny feeling that if something isn't done to accommodate, second-class cities didn't have to roll anything back.
Mm-hmm.
That they're, you're, and I hear it back home ever so often, we hear it, I think, across the state. And, that's a nice thing. That's to become a lesser formable government,
mm-hmm.
become a second-class city. You get essentially the same thing everyone else does. You don't have to put up with their citizens. Your government becomes a lower form of government. Participation's lower, and a few people run it instead of everybody participating. We've come to a point where we're elevating lower form, less participative type of government, and we're elevating it up above where we as citizens should be participating and paying our taxes and grumbling and beating the table. And I can show you the difference between what it is in Nome come election time and what it is in a second-class city of comparable size. We'll have 2 to 3 times as many people participating in our elections. God, I'll sit there at some meetings and there'll be 40, 50 people at our meetings. So at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, just hopping over something. You can go north and you can go south, and it's completely a different ball game altogether.
I know I'm off the subject a little bit, but I'm curious.
I've been off the subject.
On the economy. Was Nome's economy, I think the pipeline is 77 completion, and then we experienced a downturn, at least where I live, for about 78 and 79, and 80, part of 80 was 79 and 80 were bad years for the economy. Did Nome experience that about the same period of time, or did they experience it shortly before that?
No, the same people that lost jobs in Fairbanks and Anchorage lost them in Nome and came back home and were again back into the local economy if they could find jobs. Some of them went quite some time and it had the same impact in Nome.
So they didn't, well, I guess when we asking if Nome didn't experience a downturn a year or 6 months before the rest of the state. So I'm trying to compare this period of time to...
No, there was no effect that came pre to the shutdown. They all lost jobs about the same time. And that was a serious impact, that was too.
Representative McBride.
I guess I'd just like to make a comment that that's why your last comment there about second-class cities sort of makes me think that Mayor Hollowell's suggestion of a Blue Ribbon Committee to look into all of these things in relation to our government, because we're at a time where that sort of fits. Now, obviously, and especially in your area and other areas of the state, there are communities with obviously no tax base or very little that you could tax, no economies, things like that, and certainly, you know, they're citizens of the state and their needs need to be addressed. But on the other hand, some of these problems are now surfacing that we're talking about, and I think it relates to the same thing that he was saying, whether you're talking about the Mandatory Borough Act or whether you're talking about first and second class cities and so forth. And I think we could come to some better answers by looking at it than we can by just depending on where we're from, trying to, you know, just saying you should pay and I shouldn't and all those kinds of things.
I wouldn't be adverse to suggesting a task force for a number of reasons. We're speaking primarily to revenue sharing here,
yeah,
just to get something hopefully off dead center here, so yeah, that there'd be some reasonability somewhere along the line. I don't disagree with you. It's a good suggestion.
Any further questions? Thing. I thank you, Lou, for your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Members.
Mr. Miller, I think that Mr. Lane would like to comment.
My name is Ted Lane. I'm a member of the City Council in Fairbanks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for having us here. I'm also a past president of the Municipal League, and the comments by Representative Locker brought to mind some testimony I gave about 2.5 years ago to the Permanent Fund Corporation Board of Directors in Anchorage. At the time, everyone seemed to want their own permanent fund, and the Permanent Fund Board of Directors saw this as a threat. Remember, there was comment about educational permanent fund and a municipal permanent fund and all of this. And the Municipal League at that point suggested to the Board of Directors kind of taking portions of the income, and they would still manage the entire permanent fund, but dedicating those for other purposes. So it is, while we can't claim pride of authorship for the resolution you mentioned last year, that was the mayor's, it is a subject that we've supported for about 2.5 or 3 years, principally because of the concern for a stable level of funding for revenue sharing. You mentioned communities starting their own permanent funds. I was the one who proposed for the City of Fairbanks about a week ago that the city established one, and that was really for a different purpose, I think, than the state permanent fund. The city does not expect substantial amounts of revenue in the immediate future. We don't expect surpluses each year. In fact, we're facing a deficit of several million dollars in the current budget that we're going to have to probably fund through increased taxes. The reason that we're taking a close look at a permanent fund right now is to try to preserve the money that we have that remains from the time of the pipeline construction that you were referring to, when our sales tax produced far more income than we thought it would. There are some people who say, well, let's keep taxes low for a few more years by using the money that we have in the bank. But when you do that, you then lose the interest on that money forever. So the idea is to try to give the citizens of the community an opportunity to decide whether to preserve that money or to spend it in the short term. That's the whole reason, I think, that the issue is before the City of Fairbanks. But I think the to the extent that this committee can take a look at those kinds of issues, and I think we appreciate your concern, what can we do to try to make revenue sharing and municipal assistance predictable, as Representative Bride said, so that municipalities can, from year to year, if not the specific level, at least in general, have some idea of how much state support they're going to get. Federal revenue sharing was recently reenacted by the federal government for 3 years, and they committed to a certain level for 3 years. And so our municipalities in Alaska can commit to a certain level of federal assistance over the next 3 years. Seems to me that if the federal government can do that for some 14,000 municipalities around the country, that we should be able to figure out a way to do that in the state of Alaska. But the problem, just to go back for a minute, the reason the city of Fairbanks is facing a deficit this year is not for lack of growth. We've had very substantial growth. Assessed valuation over the last 3 years has been increasing at about 11 to 12% on average per year, and that's relatively significant. Our budget has been going up 4 or 5% a year, less than inflation. So it's not a matter of expenses outstripping income, except that a very substantial portion of our income comes from programs like federal revenue sharing, state revenue sharing, and municipal assistance, which have not been increasing at all, and in fact, in some instances, have been decreasing. So when a very substantial portion of your revenue is constant, despite the fact that you have a growing community, you can get into a problem with increasing deficits. So I think that's what many municipalities around the state are facing, and to the degree that this committee can help with the work of the task force that we've talked about, can help with trying to make these programs predictable and relatively stable, I think you can do a great service for all of the municipalities of the state.
Thank you, Ted. Any questions? Representative Walker.
I wanted to remind Ted that he's got a pipeline. Have you considered changing population figures, Ted? Is there anyone you can count twice?
Unfortunately, the pipeline doesn't run through the city of Fairbanks.
Oh, too bad.
We've tried to annex it, but it isn't close enough yet. So if we can figure out some way to maybe get them to come a little bit our way, we'll be happy.
Any further questions? Seeing none. I thank you, Ted.
Thank you
just much.
Is there anybody else on the board? Mr. Carte? Mr. Carte is the mayor of Wasilla.
Palmer. Palmer. Palmer.
Palmer.
Sorry. I made the thing.
Senator Walker from Palmer will understand. Mr. Chairman, committee members, I just wanted to add one bit of emphasis to something that hasn't been mentioned additionally here, and that's the Title 29. I sit in on public hearings in Anchorage a couple years ago and Fairbanks over a year ago at the Municipal League meetings, and was quite impressed with the effort the legislature and made in revising Title 29. It was quite a monumental task, and the Municipal League spent a great deal of time working on this document also and trying to come up with something workable. As a member of local government for a number of years, we realized, as the drafters did, that there was a lot of problems there. And unfortunately, it still hasn't been adopted when it seemed to many of us it should have been adopted a couple years ago. So I'm just urging you, because of these problems we've had to adopt ordinances, what I would call patchwork ordinances, to try to take care of some of the shortcomings in the existing Title 29. We have conflicts with our borough, which are unfortunate, but they're there because of the existing Title 29, the way it sets things up. And many of these problems, many of these situations would be alleviated if the Title 29, as it is basically drafted now, would be adopted. We know there's other things that can happen to it. No bill stays perfect forever, but the bill as presented last year that went through a number of hearings in your committee here looked pretty good, I think, to the majority of us. And you did pretty well, I think, in keeping the integrity of it. And I just hope that process will happen again this year, that the basic Title 29 will keep its integrity, but that this year it will actually get passed.
Any questions? opportunity, thank you.
I don't want to take up any of your time telling you our problems. I'd like to ask you a quick question, and it relates to what George has just said. Oh, I'm Marilyn Duke, Pino's Mitchell Borough, the Senator, I'm sorry. There is a sense that perhaps 29 could possibly be passed. No. No way.
Well, I don't think there's anyone at this table that's not in favor of that.
No, that wasn't.
She's that from the
my question was your perception,
yeah.
Because I'm so, I'm one of the dinosaurs that was on the original Three Right Commission, and I really, being realistic, I find that it's becoming history more.
Its next committee of referral is judiciary, and that ought to give you a hint.
I was just hoping that you would. Have some.
Yeah, if you could get the judiciary chairman to waive it, it may get passed.
If I could
might
do
go
that.
Yes.
Thank you for
thank
your
time.
Are there any other members of the board who would like to comment? Make any further questions? It doesn't appear so, and so unless you all have any other questions, again, on behalf of the board, I certainly do appreciate you giving us this time and allowing us to express our concerns, and hopefully we can work together on solving some of these problems.
I thank you for taking the time yourselves for coming to address us.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. For the committee, our next meeting is this coming Wednesday, and we'll be taking up two bills, House Bill 143, which is the reclassification of disposal of the new capital site at Will. Representative Larson will is a prime sponsor, and he will be here at that time. And House Bill 537, which is authorizing municipalities to exempt motor vehicles from taxation, which was introduced by Representative Gusendorf. He will be at that time testifying it Wednesday. Yes.
Good. Our mayor.
And I will
and then
adjourn the meeting
we'll
at 4:19. Thank you.